Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, he met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of the Spirit with life from above, into God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine! And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believed. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. All right, that's my cue, I guess. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody's doing well today. We don't have a bulletin this morning, so don't worry. The songs are on the slides up there, and if you're serving on communion this morning, I'm sure you already know that, so hopefully so. So I'd like to welcome, if you're a visitor this morning, we'd like to welcome you. We're just very glad that you're here, and hopefully you'll stick around for a few minutes after service and let us get to know you a little bit. If you have small children, we have a nursery available to my left here down the hallway. I think it's the third door on the left. So if you are in need of that, that's available this morning for children ages 3 years old all the way up to second grade. We have Super Church that will be meeting this morning, and we'll be releasing all those children about halfway through the service this morning, and I'll announce that when that time comes. So if you have children in that age range and they want to go to Super Church this morning, just follow the rest of the kids to that room when that time comes. So we're so glad you're here. Let's all worship together this morning. Let's start with a prayer. Father, we thank you so much for for being with us, for being among us this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to worship you with as a church body. I pray that you will bless our time together, help us to honor and glorify you with all the words that we sing and all the words that are being said this morning, both through prayer and through the preaching of your word. I just pray that you'll be glorified and that we'll be lifted up and that we'll encourage one another this morning and truly be the church body that you have called us to be, that you've created us to be. We love you so much. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the salvation that you've given us and the freedom to worship you, Lord. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all sing out together.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their King in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail the Lamb and bow before the great I am, and bow before the great I am. While everlasting ages roll, eternal love shall feast their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their view.
After this next song, we'll all partake of communion together.
Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to touch us, hold us, use us, mold us, only.
As we get this opportunity now to partake of the Lord's Supper, one of the things that I always think about during this time is throughout the world today, as the first day of the week, there are millions upon millions of brothers and sisters in Christ who are partaking of this meal together. So when we think about the body of Christ, we think about the body here, we think about the body throughout this region, throughout this country, throughout the world. We're all sharing this meal together today. And it's all in a remembrance of the sacrifice that Christ gave for us. And as we take of this, let's think about that sacrifice, but also let's focus on the victory that Christ had over death. The victory of Him rising from that grave and the salvation that we have an opportunity to partake in because of that sacrifice and that victory. Let's pray together. Holy Father, we're so thankful that we do have this opportunity to remember the sacrifice that Christ made for us, to remember Him being willing to go to that cross and take on all of our sins upon Himself, because He knew that we could not do it ourselves. And Father, we're so thankful also for that victory that He had over death, for the victory of coming out of that grave, and for the hope of salvation that we have through Him. Father, as we take of this bread now, which represents His body, I pray that You will bless us as we take it. And Father, may we also just focus on Him. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you pray with me again? Holy Father, again, we're so thankful for the gift of Your Son. Father, at this time where we focus on our blessings with this recent holiday of Thanksgiving, the Christmas season coming up, Father, what better gift could we receive than the gift of salvation from you through your Son? And Father, we're thankful for that, and we're thankful for the blood that was shed on that cross that would cover our sins, that would give us an opportunity again to have that salvation through Christ. Father, as we take this cup this morning, I pray that you'll bless it to us. And Father, I pray that we'll take it in a way that's pleasing to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Pray with me again. Holy Father, we are blessed in so many ways. Father, you've given us more than we need. In this country, we're a blessed people. And Father, we also know that though we are many of us are blessed beyond our beyond measure, we know also, Father, there are those among us who are not. Father, as we have this opportunity now to give back a portion that you've blessed us with, Father, I pray that that it will be used to glorify you, to help those in need, to spread your word of your kingdom throughout this area. And Father, that we'll be blessed in our giving. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
I'd like to invite everybody to stand and sing. So the next song we're going to sing is Go Tell It on the Mountain. We, most of us, if not all of us, already know this song, but we're going to sing it a little bit different this morning. We're going to sing a little intro before we go into the chorus that we all know. So we're going to teach you the intro real quick. It's pretty short. So the basses will start first. And so we're just going to sing through the bass part about three times. And then you'll have it. You'll have it perfectly after that, I'm sure.
Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go.
All right, that's the bass part. All right, that's simple. Everybody got it? All the basses, I mean? Okay. Nobody's shaking their head, but I sense that you have it. All right, so as the slides will show you, then the tenors will come in and sing with the basses. Our bass was out of batteries. And so the tenor will come in and sing with along with the bass, and then the alto will come in and sing, and then the sopranos will come in last and sing. So the tenor, alto, and sopranos will all be singing the same words, just in harmony together. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the whole intro. So I want you to listen to the praise team, sing through the intro, and we'll do the whole intro one time, and then we'll start back from the beginning, and we'll invite everybody to join and sing with us, okay?
Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go. Go and tell it about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell it about it.
And then we'll go straight into Go Tell It on the Mountains. All right, so let's start from the beginning, and then we'll go straight through the intro and then right into the chorus.
Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go and tell about it. Go and tell it. Go, go tell it
about it.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds all were watching there while seated on the ground. From a light from heaven descended, and glory shone around.
Now we will
go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. This light shone in the heavens to cover all the earth. It was a sign to tell men about our Savior's birth.
Now we will
go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The wise men came to worship the Holy Child that day.
They found him in
a manger, sleeping on the hay.
Now we will
go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go and tell it. Go and tell
about it. Go
and tell it. Go and tell it
about it. Go.
Go and tell it. Go and tell it
about it. Go.
Go. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and light to all he brings, rest with healing in his wings. Christ my highest heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. See him in a manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while our hearts in love we raise. Gloria in excelsis Deo, gloria in excelsis Deo. Go and tell it, go and tell about it. Go tell it, go tell it. Go tell it, go and tell it
about it.
Go.
Amen. Y'all did a great job on that song. This time, all the children ages 3 years old to second grade are dismissed to Super Church.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. You can be seated.
Morning, everyone. I'm glad that you guys are here. I want to ask that you remember those of our family who are dealing with being under the weather. I know there is a lot of sickness going around. My family's been hit with it pretty hard. So in just a second, we're going to say a prayer for those who are struggling through health issues. And after that, we have the privilege of hearing a message from Dalton Hines. Dalton is currently a missionary in Honduras, in Santa Ana, an outskirt of Tegucigalpa. Those of us who have been on Torch missions, that's primarily where we have done our work in the past few years. He's been living there for a year and is doing some great things. And so we're going to hear a little bit about what he is doing, but also from a burden and passion that he has for us to hear about the presence, will, glory, and guidance of God. So let's join me in prayer as we pray over him and pray for those of us who are struggling. Father God, Lord, we are grateful that we have the opportunity to come together as brothers and sisters and worship you. Lord, you have created within us a common denominator. Lord, for many of us, we would have no reason to know one another without the blood of your son, Jesus. Lord, and our best friendships, Father, are the result of your grace, Lord, and your will. And we lay that at your feet and we rejoice in that. And God, right now we lift up family members, Lord, friends, brothers and sisters who are struggling with illness as illness sweeps through our city. We pray that you would give them relief, Father, that you would heal them. Lord, that you would be with those who are not able to go get medical help. Father, that you would comfort them. Father, that you would open our eyes to their needs. Lord, that we would reach out and that we would be your servants in our community and that we would be aware of that and that we would think of that and that they would not leave our minds and that we would remember to lift them up to you. And God, together we lift up Dalton as he prepares to share with us a message from your word. God, I pray that you would empower him, that you would speak through your Holy Spirit, Lord, to the Holy Spirit that you've placed within us so that we could receive what it is that you have for us to receive, so that we could be challenged, so that we could be encouraged, and so that we could be empowered. And we pray that you would give him the words to speak so all that would happen. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, and amen.
Good morning, good morning. Testing, testing. This is my first time wearing this piece, so this is new to me. First of all, I want to introduce myself. Those of you who have heard my Uncle Paul, he's actually my uncle. So in case you didn't put that together, it's pretty cool that I'm here this morning with you. Just want to go ahead and introduce you to my family as well. They're not in the room. They're probably in the nursery. My wife, Jennifer, who I met on a mission trip, which I'm going to tell you about, and I have three little boys. It's been a crazy wild ride since then, but here's my my family right here. This is a picture of us in Honduras, so we're in the back of a moto taxi. So this morning I want to bring to you something that's been on my heart, and it's about our plans that we have for ourselves, and plans that we tend to feel that we have control in our life. Well, I want to make aware to you that you're not always in control. And I'm going to give you a little story and background on my family and my wife. You know, I met my wife on a mission trip in Honduras. I sold a vehicle that I had, and I said, I just want to go. This is before I met her. I just said I wanted to go to Honduras for as long as I could, and I ended up stretching it about the whole summer, just doing mission work in Honduras on a Torch Missions trip. And sure enough, the very, very last week I was there, I saw Jen. I just saw her, and I knew she was the one, okay? She is the one I'm going to marry. I had this great plan. I knew I was going to marry her. Well, that went according to plan, so that was awesome. I was so happy that, you know, that plan came together, because it was just, it's been life-changing ever since then. So many of us make plans, and some of them we exceed, and some of them we fail, right? Well, one of the things that we can't control are how many kids you're going to have. Sometimes you can, but what gender you're going to have. And for me, I had three boys, and that was not my plan. I'll be honest with you. I wanted two boys and a girl for my wife. My wife wanted a girl, but we did not get to have a girl. We were like, no, we're not going to be able to ever get a girl unless maybe we adopt. So this is what we have, and I'm no way wanting to change what God has given me. I'm so blessed with that alone. So many of us have plans in our life. Many of you can relate to whatever that plan is, whatever it is in your life that you know you've succeeded in or failed in, and you know that it wasn't God's plan. You know for a fact. And this hurts me sometimes to say it, but when your plans are not aligned with God's, they're not good plans. I want you to think about that just for a second. When your plans are not aligned with God's plans, it is not good. God intervened in my life about 2 years ago when I married my wife. We've been married almost 7 years now, I believe. I better get that right because my anniversary is coming up. 7 or 8. And she has been amazing to me. So I threw out this idea to my wife. I said, hey, you know, about 2 years ago, I said, hey, honey, how cool would it be if we were missionaries in Honduras? And I just threw that thought out there, kind of like a fishing pole with a bait. And I just let it sink, and I let it sit in the water. And here she comes about 2 days later. I said, you know, I don't want you to answer it right away. 2 days later, she says, let's go. I'm like, what? Are you serious? I've had this on my heart, and I've wanted to tell you this for so long, and I just didn't know how to approach you with it. And you want to go? You want to go do this with me? Like, you're not just saying that because you want to do it, because I want to do it. But do you actually want to do it? She says, yeah, I do. Yeah, I want to go. I want to do it before it's too late. That crushed me. That changed me inside, knowing that my partner that I love wanted to do it with me. I didn't know what it meant 2 years ago. I just knew I wanted to go and serve. So after I prayed about it, I want to say probably 3 or 4 months, we prayed. We prayed. We sent out letters to all of our friends, all of our family for support, for raising financial support and for our ministry and just prayer support to make sure it was the right decision. Sure enough, it was the right decision. It's funny how God can speak to you at times. Sometimes just opening your Bible, you know, just opening it and you're reading it and you're just having this aha moment. And it changes you, the way you looked at that scripture. The way God speaks to you, and he may speak to you through prayer, or he may speak to you through a miracle. Sometimes I get distracted thinking about, you know, how to communicate with God. A lot of times we forget how to communicate with him. We forget because Satan distracts us. Every room in the house has something to do with your planning. The couch goes here, you know, or the picture needs to go here. You know, all those are little things. But what about in your life? How are those things set up on your shelf? What things are more important than other things? What things are aligned in your life with God? What things are not aligned? And I want you guys to realize this is about recognizing God's presence. This is about knowing he's there and not forgetting it. Because so many times we forget, all of us, I forget, that he's right here with me. It changes me inside when I realize and I read and I just read and I see how big God is and how big his plan for us is. We have to just trust God and let it go. We have to trust him and let it go. He says, for that, we're reading in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. If anyone is going to put their trust in anyone, it better be God, because he is the one who's going to give you that hope and future. Plans to prosper you. He's planned it from the beginning. We need to remember where our possessions and our desires lie. Is it Christmas gifts, or is it the Christmas sacrifice? Is it focus on the things that are seen, or focus on the things that are unseen? We need to realize that it can fall apart at any time in our life. And this has been huge for me. I have learned from moving to Honduras so much that when we all do something, it has an effect, some ripple effect in one way or another. Your choices have ripple effects. Your good choices can lead other people to doing even better choices. Your one bad choice, one bad planning that you did that may have not been aligned with God can affect this person and go down, down, down. Just from one choice. We need to relate in our lives where we've made those choices and how we can overcome that. I realize when I have lost someone, or when I have a traumatic experience in my life, or when someone has cancer, you may think of those people. You may even know those very people right now who are going through a super hard time in their life, or where they have cancer and they're battling for it. You realize you're not in control. The only way you can fix this is through Christ. Now, I lost my grandfather on my dad's side. Huge, huge mentor to me. And I went through a time where I felt like Job. And I felt, y'all know the story of Job, where he loses everything. God and Satan are, you know, having this conversation, and God says, have you considered my servant Job? You know, and God gives Satan one job, not to kill him. That was the only thing that was required by God, was not to kill him, to see if Job could turn him away from God. Sure enough, he couldn't do it. He took everything from him. He took his whole family, his kids, everything away from him, all of his wealth. By the end of it, God won, and he gave him more after that. Just imagine yourself for a second. God looking at you like, child, just trust me, will you? Just imagine yourself, if you were God right now and you're looking down on, you know, this ant pile, if you will, and you're one of those ants, and you created all those things, all those insects on the world, and, you know what the plan is around this. You know, they're there. They can't even leave that place. But they've gone as far as to here, but I am so big. You have no idea. Just trust me, will you? Stop worrying about that little thing in your house. Stop worrying about that person who has died and is you're letting it affect your life in a way that you shouldn't. Stop worrying about those things. Stop trying to take control. Stop making these plans, for I have plans for you. Plans for you to prosper and not to harm you. I wrote something here, and I want to read it to you. Imagine God sitting on his knees. He'll have his arms wide open and tell us, I have a plan. I need you to get excited again. Don't worry, my child. I need you to remember you're not in this alone. I'm already working on your challenges. I've already assigned you angels. Let go of your control issues and trust me. I've got a pretty incredible ending. This is why I need you to get excited again. I'm going to rock your world. Picture that for a second. I know that's how God speaks to me. And that's why I don't. That's why I don't always feel worried. Because I know he's taking control in my life. I mean, his angels work for him, right? He says right here in Hebrews 1:14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to those sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? And you also have another verse on Psalms 91:11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. He sends his angels for you. I mean, come on, you got to realize that he sends his angels. We forget so many times that there are angels out there too. And they're doing his work. They're protecting you. They're protecting your ways when you're seeking salvation. Why would anyone not want to trust him? Someone who has angels? I mean, think about it. There's no way. If someone had angels watching me, I would feel so loved. And I am. And I feel that all of us can feel that way. All of us have a chance to recognize his presence and know that he is there. If you think about Exodus 33, Moses and God, most of you might know the story, but Moses and God had so many face-to-face meetings. Moses would throw out a tent and on the side of his camp or sometimes in the middle of it, depending on where and the time. But Jesus or God would come down in a pillar cloud and appear in front of Moses in a cloud form, where all other people could see. He was face to face with God. I think about it, and I'm like, man, if I was face to face like that, oh, that would be so cool. But then I forget sometimes, you know, I do have that face to face connection with him. We do have that. We don't need to be reliant on a Moses. We are that Moses now. God took away that mediator. He says, for I am with you. Do we constantly forget that he is there? He's in our presence. I think oftentimes when I go do something in Honduras, I get distracted. Every now and then get distracted, and I forget that he's right there with me. And I forget that I can just speak straight to him. And that I don't need a Moses to speak for me. God broke that wall. Jesus is now the person you can talk to. Straight to him, face to face. A lot of people will say, well, I'm not going to go buy a tent like Moses just so I could, you know, go talk to him. I can talk to him anywhere. But can you do that alone? So many of us are distracted by other things now. You know, you think you can go in a room. Well, I've tried it. I'll go in my room and I'll pray just for a couple minutes. And, you know, there are several things that distract me. I have, you know, three little boys running around and they're screaming. And I know all of us have had kids at some point or are kids and know that you're distracting your parents at times. And if you're a kid and you're a teenager who has a cell phone, your phone is distracting you. Am I wrong? You have your phone after 2 minutes into your prayer, ding, 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 and your mind just goes wandering and you don't even know what you were doing anymore. You forgot that you were even talking to God. And a lot of times this generation, we are just so distracted. And this is a time, I'm going to go ahead and time to take alone with him. We need to find a place to pitch out our tent. We need to find that quiet time with God and just be in his presence. We need not to just pick a room in our house unless it's quiet that might could have distractions. We need to find a lonely, quiet place where it can just be you and God. We often get carried away with our lives and our plans. A story about me and my wife, I want to tell you, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty powerful. I want to just try to share the best I can. When we decided to move to Honduras, we set plans out to a certain date so that we could just go. And we picked 3 months out. And we said, you know, we're going to leave 3 months. That's the date. Well, we had plans to stay in our house. We were going to sell our house, but we were going to try to list it really, really high so that we could, you know, try to work the buyer down to a certain number towards the end of our time in the States. Well, sure enough, we raised the price quite a bit, like $20,000 more than it was worth, than average value in our neighborhood. And we had done a little bit of renovation in the house, so it did have a little bit more value at the time. But this was still a pretty high-valued home for what it was. And so we listed it. We're like, okay, at the end of the 3 months, we're gonna knock it down, and then we'll leave, and we'll have we'll have sold our house by then. And sure enough, second person that looks at the house says, "I want it." Day two, we sold our home. For $180,000, the asking price. I don't know about you, but if that isn't godly to you, I don't know what else is. That is God reminding me of how he is in control. And I thought I had my plan set to sell my house 3 months. And now, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do for 3 months? I have no idea. Where am I going to stay? A week later, we had all the paperwork done, and we told the lady what we were going to be doing, and she said, "Well, y'all can stay in it for another month. I don't need to move into it right away. I'm going to be out of town." Huh? What? Man, I had myself all worried, and you know, I was just not trusting in him in this case. I mean, I know we had all this extra money, you know, but he gave us all this extra money. I was thinking maybe we're going to have to go buy or rent out an apartment or something. And sure enough, you know, he just blew my mind and realizing that he is in control. Same thing with our car. You know, we were just a couple weeks out. We need our car, definitely need our car to get from point A to point B. So we didn't even list it until we got towards the last 2 weeks of our stay, of our time here. And surprisingly enough, we were visiting my mom in a whole different state, and we listed our price on, and it was overpriced too. We were hoping to do the same thing, and overpriced it because we needed it for about 2 weeks, hoping to work it down again. Well, sure enough, we sold it for asking price the next day. What? Why? What? I don't get, this is not me. This is him. This is all him. Sometimes we forget that we're not in control. And we forget that he's in control. Sometimes I may have worded that wrong, but we forget that God is in control, thinking we're in control. So to even top that off, the guy said, if you'll just hold it for me tomorrow, I'll give you an extra $500. Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Those are just signs that I knew we were going to be going. I want you guys to read this quote here by Edward Teller. When you get to the end of all light you know, and it's time to step into the darkness of all the things unknown, faith is knowing that one of two things shall happen. Either you will be given something solid to stand on, or you will be taught to fly. I relate to this a lot. There is a time where, even in Paul's youth group, I remember back in the day, where he would give us a scenario, and this was a more trust scenario. Basically, it's a virtual reality thing where you have about four or five people working with you, and I'm going to just set the scenario up for you. And we may have done it right here on the stage a long time ago, but I'm going to try to reenact it. So you have a log or a bench of some sort. You have a tall person on this side and a tall person on this side. And you have a person in front of you, and you have two people that are going to lift you on this bench. And the person that's going to be challenged to see if they'll trust the person who is speaking sits on this bench blindfolded, and they put their hands on the two tall people. And they're up here because he's sitting down. So at this point, he's blindfolded. These two people act like they're lifting this bench, and they're slowly vibrating it just enough to where their feet come off the ground. And then these two tall people are going down, and you're blindfolded like this. So imagine yourself blindfolded with, you know, you sat on a bench and you feel like you're going up because these people are going down. And then you hear this voice in front of you that says, now step down. What? I'm not going to step down. It's like 5 feet down there. I remember these people are tall. They're down here. But really, they went down. And the problem was is there was not enough trust and feeling what had happened. So when the person went to step off, he doubted himself. He thought the ground was way down there. And the person had just said, you know, the ground is just right there, just 2 inches. And they sometimes fall. Sometimes they bust their leg up because they didn't trust that there was a ground 2 inches down. We often need to listen to that voice when God tells you, trust me. Just trust me. We have that voice in our head that talks to us. We're like, well, I don't know what that means, Lord, so I'm just going to ignore that. Pray on that. What does that mean, Lord? Explain it to me. Explain it to me. I have something I really want to leave you with today. And now that you know a little bit about my story before we left for Honduras, I want to make you aware that these were my plans at first, and I realized they weren't my plans. They were God's plans. He tells us, unless we're able to ditch our lives, pick up that cross, and carry it for him, don't bother. Don't even bother walking that path. Don't do it lukewarm. He doesn't want that. He wants you to fully pick up his cross, carry it, be nailed to it, and say, here I am. I'm doing it for you. Are you in that position? Are we doing that for him? Are we carrying his cross? So many people prefer, you know, a different outcome. So many people prefer the less, you know, gory route. I get it. It's brutal. I do. I really do get it. I mean, I understand that. That is no fun scenario for me. But if you're not willing, if we're not willing to give up our lives for him, then what are we doing? Where is our faith? Imagine yourself in God's shoes. If your son had been beat, tortured, destroyed upon this cross, and this person won't take it up for your son, are you going to let him in the gates? If he said, "No, Lord, I'm so sorry. I just didn't mean to offend you. I wasn't sure what to do. I didn't have enough time. I wanted to be right with you, but I had so many other things." You're going to tell him, "You didn't even care. I know your heart." Imagine yourself in God's shoes. Put yourself there. He thinks like us, but way better. His ways are higher than your ways. God is watching what goes and what doesn't. He knows for the plan. He knows what's in control. Let me just tell you this. He's in control. Just get that across. He is in control, and that's all you need to know. He is in control. Whether you try to manipulate that plan, he's going to take it back from you at one point or another. And you're going to come to realize, wow, I really was wrong this whole time. The last thing I want to share with you some of the steps to regain control is that we have to focus on him. We need not to lose sight of the end goal, to trust in him, to have faith, to regain that faith. And I want some of us to think about, you know, how do we do that? You know, stop what you're doing right now and maybe look around the room. Find a friend if you can. Turn your head and just look for a friend that you know, or if you just know that friend is here, I want you to write that person's name down. And I want you, if you're not, what do y'all call that small group that y'all have? Life group? If you're not in a life group, I would just encourage you to go to one, because they're going to be so powerful. You guys are a body. We are a body together. We need to be supporting, uplifting other people. We need to work together, because it's so hard to do it alone. It's hard for me to do what I do without you. We have to account with other people. We have to count on you. You have to count on them. Some of us are known to need help, and some of us are known to help. And at times, we can often have both of those situations, where you may help someone here and then you need help from this person. We need to remember our ways are not higher than his ways. Start listening to that voice. If you're hearing that voice, just don't discount it. That's one of the huge pieces of advice that I would love to share and maybe help you if you have questions, or maybe the church can help you listen to that voice or listen to that calling you have. Maybe it's helping in the church. Maybe it's helping someone in the street. Maybe it's changing your lifestyle. I wrote this, and I'm going to end with this right here. It's promised the last thing. We all have those moments where we had those moments where we encounter God. The next time you feel that you are in his presence, which you should know you always are, but the next time you feel it, you're like, ah, I know you can't write this down, but if you want to get it from me later, you can. The moment. We're calling it the moment. The moment you recognize his presence, breathe it in, notice it, acknowledge it, and dwell in it. For this moment only comes by your faith. When this moment comes and you've made the everlasting choice to listen, God is going to smile up from above, because you've earned that. The voice of God that we shut out from time to time, when the moment comes, launch yourself into it. Pursue it fearlessly while holding nothing back. Make sure it's yours. Grab it and seize it. But let God take full ownership of it. You will win in such a way you never thought was possible. When the moment comes, let there be no doubt who this moment belongs to, and make it glorify Him. So I want you to remember that. Try to figure out when you're going to have your next presence with God. If you haven't had that moment already, you may find that you're having one now. And if you feel that you need a change in life, I would encourage you to listen to that voice that God is speaking to you. And I pray that you act on that and not just say, I'm going to put it on the back burner and let it cook a little while longer. I just encourage us to listen and listen deeper than we've ever listened before. Because it's going to change your life, I promise. I promise. As it's changed mine, I didn't want to listen to that voice at first because I wasn't sure what it meant. And I didn't know how to dissect that. But I listened, and now God has greater plans, and I can see it clearly. If you will, I would love to say a really quick, short prayer for all of us. If you will, bow your heads with me. Lord Father, we come to you today. We just thank you for the sacrifice you made for us, giving your only son. You didn't have two or three. It wasn't easy to make that sacrifice. It was your only son. You gave him up for us so that we can be part of your plan and prosper. I pray that you continue to work in us, continue to speak to us so that we may remember who's in control. I pray that we set our plans aside that are not eternal, and we listen to your plans, Lord. We study. I pray that we keep on planting seeds as you have called us to do so that you may water them. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you so much for the church as we grow together, as we share about our testimonies throughout our times, as we share your testimony, Lord, with others. I pray that we do so in such a way that we will win the prize. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart. Let me be as gold. Pure gold. Refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my Master. Ready to do your will. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from within. And make me holy. Purify my heart. Cleanse me from my sin. Deep within, refiner's fire, my heart's one desire.
ready to do your will. Ready to do your will. Ready to do your will.
Amen. You can all be seated.